Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors, disruptors everywhere. Thank you so much. You are joining Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. Dudes of Disruption, disrupting your automatic. Today's show is episode 108, The Resiliency Muscle. And you can catch all our episodes, all 108 episodes on Podomatic and on iTunes, Dudes of Disruption. You're listening to Coach Nick. I'm Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. We also have in studio Sam Leibowitz. Say hello, Sam.
Hey, hey, dudes.
I am Coach Nick. I'm the author, speaker, facilitator around transformational and leadership topics and a committed disruptor. Why we're here? To awaken humanity, to awaken people, to awaken teams, so everyone, every single person gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture, team dynamics and team effectiveness, and personal development. And I also run a men's group, a Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York City. If you're interested in learning more about our men's group, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. Today's show is The Resiliency Muscle. Global Tribe of Disruptors, how do you define being resilient? And why is being resilient so important? What role does resiliency play in your success at home and in your business, with your family and with your team? We start every show with a quote to help set a context.
I know that, dude.
So today's quote, Sam, is going to be from Pablo Picasso.
Ooh, I like Pablo Picasso.
You like him, right?
Yes, I do.
He's a pretty good dude. He's a Hall of Fame dude.
He's a big time dude.
He's a big time dude.
You know, I studied art in college for a couple of years, and like he was one of the ones that, like, my art teacher, he was like, you got to really study him. Don't look at him superficially.
Right.
He's deep.
Yeah, he's deep. Well, I've got a deep message for you and for everyone out there. The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away.
Oh, I like that.
The meaning of life is to find your gift. The purpose of life is to give it away. And I believe that helps to create a nice context for our conversation called the resiliency muscle. So resiliency, I believe resiliency is a skill and a muscle that is critical to being successful, to rising above it all, above all the clutter, all the noise, all the chaos, all the caca, all the frustration, all the confusion. The resiliency muscle is really, really important. I do leadership development on topics such as giving feedback, coaching, developing talent, communication. And I believe if you're not resilient, if you don't have the resiliency muscle, you're unable to do those things I just mentioned, everything from communication to giving feedback to developing people. You're not going to be able to do it, or you're not going to be able to do it as well.
I think it's important to maybe define the term resiliency because, I have, from the way you're talking about it, I think I have a different conception of what that word means than perhaps the way you're using it.
What do you think resiliency is?
To me, resiliency is the ability to bounce back. Resiliency is like, when you're faced with challenges and you're faced with hard times, it's being able to come back from a failure, a mistake, something that society would deem as like not good, and come back and push forward and go on and go to the next venture, go to the next thing that's waiting for you.
Absolutely. It definitely is. And some of the other definitions that I get from people, Sam, is that it's being motivated. It's being highly motivated. It's being able to gut it out. It's being able to do whatever it takes, right? In some cases, some people may say resiliency is about working a little bit harder and being a little bit more focused, right? All good, right? The challenge I have with some of those sentiments, especially motivation, is that motivation tends to be short term. I think motivation has a role, right? If you're working on a project with a team and you're in the last day of day five, or you're in the last hour of a 2-week project and your team is starting to get a little bit tired, they might need a little inspiration. Call it a Hershey's, chocolate bar, right? Or, playing some loud music, right? Like some little jolt, right? So I do think motivation plays a role. The disruption that I want to offer, that it's less about motivation in the world of resiliency, okay? And it's more about inspiration. Inspiration is about connecting to your heart, right? It's connecting the heart and the head. It's about connecting to the heart to unleash the passion and the energy that is necessary to rise above the clutter and the noise and the caca and the demands and the deadlines and the pressures, right? I mean, think of all the demands and the pressures and the deadlines and the goals and all the expectations and all the things that people need from you, right? There's a lot.
Right.
If you're a manager that has a group of people, if you're a divisional leader that runs a division, if you're a parent who has family, if you're a business owner who has clients, you have a lot coming at you. The resiliency muscle is critical, and I believe the way to build that muscle is through inspiration. And I think that's what I want to offer versus the motivation, like things like working harder or you know, doing whatever it takes. Again, those are all fine.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was, but I remember someone saying something that, you know, like motivation is always external and inspiration is internal.
There you go, perfect.
And in order to truly be resilient in that way, it's something that needs to come from the inside, not
perfect.
From the outside.
Exactly. So inspiration is critical and has an important relationship with resiliency. And I can't think of a better strategy than in relation to inspiration and resiliency then bringing to the surface your higher purpose.
Ah,
see how I tied all that in?
Yeah, I see. And it's not just tying the head with the heart, but it's also tying in the spirit as well. And I would say the body as well, like all four
yes.
aspects of our being.
Yes.
Because it's the inspiration
yes.
is what comes from our spirit, our energy,
yes.
whatever you want to call it.
Yes. Let me ask you, Sam, what do you believe, and I'll share in a moment my thoughts as well, what do you believe is the importance of a higher purpose for either the individual, if you run a business for your company? It could be a higher purpose for your family. If you run a group, like outside of business, like I mentioned, we run a men's group. What role does it play? Why is it important, a higher purpose?
Well, you know, I first heard you speak about higher purpose a couple of years ago.
You were listening to me.
I was listening to
you. I love it, Tim.
Because you happened to be in my studio at that time. And, like, as soon as you talked about, you know, knowing your higher purpose, I knew instantly what my higher purpose was.
Okay, awesome.
Which was involved in helping to raise the consciousness of the planet.
Yes. Ooh, I love that.
And so since you said that, and I realized that, it helps me to check to, am I being in alignment? Am
right.
I being on mission? And is what I'm doing ultimately going to help raise the consciousness of the planet? And that
yes.
could be the consciousness of one person.
It yes.
doesn't have to be everybody on the planet, just one person.
Yes.
So for me, that higher purpose, it's like that litmus test that we have that keeps us on our path.
I love it. I mean, what you're describing, another way said that I've heard people say is it serves as your North Star.
Yes.
Right? It's that magnet, right? So
right.
that when you're lost at sea, because we're all lost at sea at times.
Yeah, absolutely.
Again, we all have demands. We all have deadlines. We all have pressures.
Lots
we all,
of them.
We have people expecting things from us, right? We're expected to deliver both at home and at work.
Yeah, you
and,
notice that no one ever expects the exact same thing. Everyone
well, that's
always
right.
expects different things. Come
right.
on.
And so your higher purpose serves as that magnet to, you know, help recalibrate, right? To get back on track, like you said. I also want to say that a higher purpose can serve as a filter for you to make choices.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
One of the things I always tell people is you can, you know, most managers, leaders, business owners spend a lot of time on business planning, budget planning, goal setting. Please do all those things, all good things.
Right.
And what I would also encourage them to do before they do any of them is get clear, identify, get connected, and share what your higher purpose is, because often the higher purpose makes everything else easier because you're developing your goals and your business plan and your budgets and all the choices and decisions and actions you're about to take or are taking in alignment, like you said, with your higher purpose. So when you're about to make a decision, should I hire this person or not? Should I take this client or not? Should I take this project or add more resources to this project or not? Should I let my child participate in a particular activity or not? Is it in line with the higher purpose?
Now, it's interesting because you don't really hear it talked about a lot in the mainstream in business today.
Right.
And I'm curious if you think, is that because people are resistant to the idea of stating what their higher purpose is, or just nobody's bringing it up?
It's a good question. I'm going to say I think it's three things.
I think it's three.
Let me see. So one is that some folks, individuals and companies, are uncomfortable declaring and sharing.
Oh, interesting.
Their higher purpose, because then you're on the line.
Yeah.
Because then your buttocks is on the line.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'm paraphrasing, but you said your higher purpose is to raise the consciousness of the world.
Right.
Well, that's a big statement. That's a really big statement.
Absolutely.
And so now people are going to judge you based on that, right? They're going to observe your actions, your choices you make, the people that you hang with, right? And by the way, higher purpose doesn't mean you're perfect.
Right.
What it means is that's what you're committed to, and when you're committed to something, you're more likely to do it.
Right.
Versus, hey, I'm interested in that. When you're interested in something, you're going to do what's convenient. When you're committed to something, like I'm really clear, and I'm declaring my higher purpose, and I'm connected to it, and I want to share it with the world, because I want to give that as my gift, then you do whatever it takes in that case. And it almost organically, naturally happens, right? So I think, to answer your question, Sam, I think one reason why a higher purpose sometimes is not front and center is because now I have to hold myself, or you're going to hold me, responsible for it. A second is that I think people don't understand, which is why we're having this conversation, especially in the context of resiliency, for the individual and even for a group, a team, a company, or family, don't understand the role that it plays. I think we get more caught up in the doing.
Right,
which is the business plan, the goal setting, the budget planning, right?
All the strategy stuff.
The strategy stuff, right? Like that's more of the doing, which again is important.
Absolutely.
What's also important, I think, comes first is the being, which is the higher purpose. The being is the experience that you're committed to generating and creating in the world, right? It's the version of you, it's the version of your family, it's the version of your company that you want out there, that you want to create, that you want to emulate.
Right.
So I think there's an element of not understanding its role. I think there's an element of not wanting to put yourself on the line. I think there's also an element of it seems too woo woo, seems too soft.
Mm.
It can't be those things.
Oh,
it can't
that you can't make a buck and still commit to your higher purpose.
Exactly. Right. And what I want to share with you, because I think that starts to. I think as we start to transition to this conversation, I want to give a couple of examples of how powerful a higher purpose is. So let me share with you some examples of some higher purpose. So Merck, the pharmaceutical company, improving health and well-being around the world. Disney, to use our imaginations to bring happiness to millions. Apple, for a long time, was Think Different.
Right.
I'll give you a couple of personal ones. So mine I already shared at the very beginning of the podcast, which was awaken people so they leave their mark. Have people get back on the court. Get people back on the court to choose with eyes wide open.
Yes.
Right? Choose from an awakened place so that they can
place.
Right, from a conscious place. So they can be self-expressed. They can bring themselves, right? Whatever version of themselves they want to bring forward. I mentioned men's group again. Our men's group higher purpose is to inspire men to live life purposefully and to transform the world. Okay. Now, let me share with you a couple of stories about, again, because you said, hey, sometimes we don't get, or companies don't get, that can you make a buck off the higher purpose?
Right.
So
it's all about the bottom line, right?
So I mentioned Apple, right? So let's explore the Apple story, and then I want to explore the Disney story, all right? So the Apple story, so I'm going to show my age, Sam, and I think the good news here is that I think we're similar age.
Yes, I think.
Okay, so there's no judgment there.
Not at all.
You and I remember when Apple had possibly 5% of the market.
Yes.
They were not considered the cool company.
Yes.
They were a company, I think, that was heavily involved. Their 5% of the market share, I think, was in the academic world with desktops.
Education.
Right?
Absolutely, yep.
And boy genius, Steve Jobs, was actually fired.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know that may be a shocker for some of the younger disruptors that are listening to the podcast, because you know him as, you know, statues erected, movies and documentaries, books made, before passing, he was invited to be the guest speaker at any conference or graduation, right?
Right.
Steve Jobs was fired from the company that he started.
Yep. Him and Steve Wozniak.
Exactly.
And Wozniak was the engineer who actually created things, and Jobs was always the marketing person.
And he got fired.
And he got fired.
And they had a very, very small percentage.
Yes.
And then in the mid to late 90s, something happened.
Oh, yes.
And what happened is Think Different. Mm-hmm. There's the famous commercial where they show the, you know, the, some people call them the crazies. You know, we call them the genius.
Right.
But it was all about Think Different. And in that moment, everything changed.
Yes.
Simon Sinek talks about, and I forget how he coins it, but he draws a circle, and I highly recommend for those for the disruptors listening, check out Simon Sinek, who's a great leadership facilitator, and type in why, W-H-Y.
Right, he's got a great TED Talk on it.
He's got a great TED Talk, and what he talks about is there are three things that a company does. There's the what, the how, and the why. What is what you sell, right? So Apple, what do they sell?
Computers. And consumer electronics.
Now. Consumer electronics. That's the what. It's just factual. There's no good or bad. There's no judgment around it. That's what they sell.
Right.
The how is the secret sauce, right? What's their secret sauce? What's the how is the differentiating point about them.
Right. It's the design. It's the design of everything.
The design of everything. All the devices connect to each other.
Right.
They're lightweight. They're durable. Right. All those. Right. That's all part of their secret sauce.
Quality.
Right. Most people would say, well, Apple became successful. I'm sorry, not only successful, top 2-3 companies in the world. At times, they've been even ranked number one from 5%, 5-10% market share in only about 10 years.
Right.
I mean, put that, think about that, that accomplishment, right? What Simon Sinek says, and it relates directly bullseye into this conversation, is that he said the reason why they became so successful is what people bought was not their what, which is their consumer electronics, or their how, which are all the products connecting their design and so forth. What people bought was their why. Their why. Their why was think different.
Right.
If you were somebody who was sick and tired of IBM in the mid to late 90s, if you were somebody who was sick and tired of Microsoft, if you were sick and tired of the establishment, if you were sick and tired of corporate America, if you just wanted to honor yourself being different and making being different okay, because for a long time, being different was not okay, by the way.
Right, absolutely.
If you were somebody who attached to that higher purpose sentiment, you bought their product, is why people year after year, Sam, will form lines out the door. They will take off from work. I know you're banging your head against the microphone.
I know. I can't believe
it's ridiculous.
Stand online for a phone.
A phone that costs what, $600-$800, depending on, you know, what kind of plan you have and all that.
Yeah.
But you get my point.
Yes.
It's not inexpensive.
Right.
Think about it, folks, and Simon Sinek is right. What people are buying, what you buy, is the why.
Right.
The reason why you choose the place that you work, the reason why you choose to leave the place you work, is because of their why or lack thereof.
Right.
People bought their why.
Yes, totally.
I mean, think about this too, Sam. Not only do people sit online to spend $600-$800 because supposedly the camera 12 months later is so much better, right?
Right.
That in itself is just silliness, right?
Yeah.
Even if it is.
Right.
Everyone gets my point, right?
Yeah.
These folks now sell TVs. They sell watches.
Yes.
I mean, are you serious? Apple sells watches?
Yes.
I've been doing these leadership development programs recently, and I've been asking people. I said, if Apple sold a car, would you buy it? Or at the very least, would you seriously consider it? Everyone's hands goes up. Because it's Apple.
Yes.
And again, most people would think it's their what and their how. And I'm telling you, it's their why. And what you disruptors out there want to get busy around is identifying and bringing present and developing your higher purpose. Because within a few years, you could become the top company in your industry. You could be the top professional in your industry.
And there's a really important thing to keep in mind also that made Apple unique at its time. It's why spoke to people so deeply. There were Apple evangelists.
Yes.
Guy Kawasaki is an example. It was the first computer company. I think it's the first public company ever to have evangelists for the company.
But that also brings up, Sam, what a higher purpose also does.
That's my point.
It attracts people.
Yes.
it attracts and aligns people, right? Mm-hmm. You and I have been dancing with each other for a number of years.
Right.
I met you once when you spoke.
Yes.
We've had the show on the internet platform at Talking Alternative Radio, right?
Right.
We've parted ways, if you will, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've come back.
Mm-hmm.
We belong to a similar social action group, right?
Right. Right.
On and on. And my point is, mm-hmm. if you think about it, your higher purpose, raising the level of consciousness, me awakening people, sounds pretty similar.
Yep, absolutely.
Well, of course, we're sitting here talking.
Yes.
No, really, right?
Yeah.
It's the same with like you're talking about the evangelist for Apple. That's the power of a higher purpose.
Exactly.
When you have like-minded people, because people want to be part of a community, and you want to be part of a community that's like-minded, that feels safe, that feels familiar.
Right.
So a higher purpose can play a role in attracting top talent or the kind of talent that you want. And by the way, what it also does when you get clear about your higher purpose, and more importantly, share it and make it part of your culture, part of the DNA, is that people who are not aligned with that higher purpose will either change or they'll leave.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's okay.
Right.
And
right.
you'll attract other people.
Right.
If you're a manager or a leader of a group and you've got 15 people under you and you've got different kinds of people on your team, it's likely one major reason, I'm just going to throw it out there, is because you're not clear about your higher purpose. It's either unclear or it's confusing or it hasn't been shared. And so, of course, you've got a little bit of this over here and a little bit of that over here and a little bit of that over there. And you've got a little bit of everything and it's confusing. And when you're unclear about your higher purpose, everything becomes a little bit harder. Everything becomes a little bit longer. People collaborate a little bit less. People come together a little bit less.
Right.
Let me share the Disney story.
Yes, please do.
I'm going to paraphrase this story, but there was a group of consultants who were observing groundskeepers at Disney in Florida.
Oh, at the Disney World.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Now, groundskeeper is a fancy name for...
janitors, basically.
Yeah, exactly, right? So they were observing them during the summer months for a period of time. Now, just to put some context and color to this. So they're in Florida. These are groundskeepers. They're outside. How warm do you think it is in Orlando, Florida?
I know, because I've been there in the summertime. It is ungodly, I believe the term is.
Yes. Okay, so it's... pretty hot.
Yes.
It's pretty hot. Okay. Secondly, do you think they wear whatever they want to wear, meaning like their own choice of clothing, or do they wear uniforms?
I'm pretty sure they're in a uniform.
They are wearing uniforms in that hot sun.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they get paid, Sam? Best guess.
I don't know, but I'm sure it's not much above minimum wage.
At the time of this observation and study, it was minimum wage. Uh-huh. That may have changed since, so, mm-hmm. but it was minimum wage. And at that time, Florida had the lowest minimum wage in the country.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not a political statement, just a fact, right?
Right.
And lastly, just again, to add more color to this story,
mm-hmm.
what kind of stimulating conversation do groundskeepers have at Disney with guests? Generally, what are guests approaching them with?
Garbage to throw out.
Okay, what else?
Directions. How do I find this place?
Directions to the restroom, to the ice cream shop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just to help set a context, right? So these consultants are observing these groundskeepers over a period of time, and what they found was to a person, always operating with a smile, always mm-hmm. making eye contact, mm-hmm. always being pleasant. In a couple of instances, they saw the groundskeepers carrying strollers long stretches uh-huh. Uh-huh. because there were some, you know, first aid kind of situations, dehydration, whatever that happens with families and kids, right?
Right.
And they did it with pleasure, right? They did it, you know, without mm-hmm. skipping a beat, if you will, right? Always with their head up, smiling.
Mm-hmm.
And when the consultants finally approached the groundskeepers, and they approached each of them, they basically asked the same question. They said, why do you smile? Why do you care so much? Why do you interact with such help, right? With, you know, being so giving, you pick up garbage here at
yeah.
Disney.
Yeah.
Like, why are you so into your job? And with obviously a slight variation, what each of the groundskeepers said was, what do you mean? I don't pick up garbage. I'm not even sure what you're talking about.
Mm.
He goes, my job is to help bring happiness to people. And I do my part to bring happiness to people, just like the person who's giving out the tickets or collecting the tickets, just like
right.
the person that you called to book your reservation for your room. We're all doing our part to make people feel happy. That's the power of a higher purpose. That's the role that it plays when you said earlier, does it make you a buck? Yes, it makes you a buck. I did a leadership development program earlier this week, Sam, and one of the leaders in the room said, if there are two resumes on my desk and one has Disney experience, I will hire them over the other person.
Oh, really?
Because they know that their level of consciousness is very different as it relates to other human beings, as it relates to guests, to customers, to customer service, to customer experience. They have a very different way of operating. And again, that's the power. That's what I'm trying to say. Like in Apple's case, they went from a small company that fired their CEO co-founder, and went to being, you know, if not the largest company, right there on the doorstep of it, right? But, within a short period of time.
But even more importantly, they went to being the leader in the industry. Like, they became the company to follow.
Yes.
Everybody else copied that. When
yes.
they came out with the iPhone, there was no other phone like it. Every
yes.
smartphone you see today, if it's not an Apple, it's a copy of an Apple in some fashion.
I mean, to your point, I mean, they when they came out with Think Different, I mean, BlackBerry was owning the market.
Right.
I mean, my first, you know, whatever you want to call it, smartphone, advanced phone was a BlackBerry, like most
right.
people.
Right.
But where's BlackBerry today?
They're still around, but.
What's BlackBerry's higher purpose?
Right. No idea.
No idea.
No idea.
Like, no idea. And by the way, I think they have a decent product.
Yeah.
I actually still like their keyboard, but that's yeah. actually really critical. I don't want to highlight that. They've always had a decent product.
Right. Right.
That's the what.
Right.
What is important and how you do it and differentiate yourself is important. What's critical, the game changer, is your why, is your higher purpose. So the question for you, disruptors who are listening right now, what is your higher purpose? What's the stand you're going to take in the world? A way to figure it out, a way to start to figure out at least, and to poke around at what your higher purpose is, to look at a couple of things. Number one, what inspires you? What unleashes you? What are you passionate about? Like really, day to day, week to week, what are the things that really, really get you going and turn you on? And I don't mean the things that you like. I'm talking about those things that unleash you. What things do you find yourself paying attention to? Or what are the things that bring you joy? What are the things that you find yourself being attracted to? You know, what are the tasks? What are the people that you go to first? What are the things that you complete first? What's the legacy you want to leave behind? What do you want to be remembered by when you move on, whatever that means? Move on from this world, move on from, you know, one space to another, from one region to another. What do you want to be remembered by? What's the difference that you want to make? You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. You can check out the Dudes on social media throughout the week. You can find us and like us on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption, on Twitter, DOD Talk Radio. You can email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com if you want individual executive coaching or team development with your team or leadership development. You can also find our podcast on iTunes and Podomatic. It's Dudes of Disruption on iTunes and Podomatic. And my parting shot, Sam, is that if you want to rise above it all, right? Like rise above the water, if you will. Rise above it all. You must tend to. You must work on that resiliency muscle. And I believe a higher purpose helps you when you're like caught in the transactions of things and of life and in conversations. The reason why higher purpose helps you to build your resiliency is because all of a sudden you can say, well, hold on, why are we even having this conversation? Like, why? Like, what are we really wanting here? So it makes it easier. So if you're being positional with someone or with another group, just get connected to the higher purpose. Why are you there anyway? You must build your higher purpose. By the way, everyone has one.
How do you know everyone has one?
I believe everyone has one because people make choices. People haven't identified it. Uh-huh. People are not conscious of it. People are not aware of it. And so the invitation is, which is, again, why you want to pay attention to what turns you on. Pay attention to what brings you joy. Pay attention to what things you choose over the other, right? Because you want to bring it present. You want to connect it. You want to bring it from the unconscious to the conscious. You want to bring it from the background to the foreground. The opportunity is to own your higher purpose, to embrace your power. I believe, this is my perspective, that the world is a demand. The world is waiting for people to identify and bring their higher purpose, because there's an opportunity to disrupt and make things even better everywhere in life and everywhere in business. And not because anything is broken, just because things can always be better. You know, in the spirit of continuous improvement, good isn't good enough. There's good is good, and there's always an opportunity, and humans have always proven that we can do more. And I'm telling you, take it on. Take on your higher purpose. When you're clear about your higher purpose, everything for you, everything for your team, even for your family, because you can have a higher purpose for your family, it becomes easier. The higher purpose always carries the day. It's your go-to when you are indecisive about something. You're not clear about something. What is your higher purpose? You will find yourself rising above it all with a stronger resiliency muscle. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. Again, you can find us, Dudes of Disruption, on iTunes and Podomatic, and on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption. We end every podcast, Sam, as you know, with a Dr. Seuss quote, who's yet another Hall of Fame disruptor. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.